was really enjoying that that tape, that video, a clip that I saw yesterday of Rogers, right? David Rogers?
Yeah, Mike Rogers, yeah.
Mike Rogers.
That was very bizarre. I mean here's Mike, you know, being, I think, very rational and articulate about making his position, and this anchor just seemed enraged from the moment the show started.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I mean, I remember the last time I've ever, you know, seen an anchor threaten to punch somebody out, one of their guests.
Yeah, right. So I was just delighted. I mean, it's funny how a film like this, I expressed this in the piece, but going into Outrage, my view was basically that, you know, kind of like Andrew Sullivan's, I just don't like the idea of exposing someone's, you know, nocturnal, erotic predilections. I feel it's their business, but I came away from the film that feeling that it's a different case entirely, and it really is a justified case when it comes to DC legislators. We're not talking about outing the guy across the street. We're not talking about actors. We're not talking about, you know, it's really a different case, and I came away convinced. And that happens only rarely when a movie actually makes you feel differently when you come out than when you go in. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of one of the, I mean, I was always sort of on the fence on this, but once I started getting into this, you know, subject matter, is, you know, I went through that same transition.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I completely agree with you that, you know, I think that much too much is made in American politics about a politician's sex life. I mean, I don't
think
that generally has that much bearing on policy, but
yeah,
when it does have bearing on policy, when there is a situation of hypocrisy, then I think, you know, that's grounds for reporting, regardless of whether it has to do with, you know, in this case, the hypocrisy of closeted gay people, anti-gay, or related sexuality, another hypocrisy, that also should be reported on.
Right. You know, it's funny, that introduction in the on that Let's Talk Live clip, the news guy, whose name escapes me as we're speaking, but he said it's about outing, but it has nothing to do with policy. Well, that's precisely wrong. It does have to do with policy, and there is this tendency, as your film very clearly points out, for guys who do choose to be closeted to, manifest that choice by being adamantly mostly negative as far as gay rights and gay civil rights are concerned. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think in the case of Andrew, he hadn't seen the film. So, I mean, he didn't have the opportunity to really understand the argument. I mean, I think people have a initial sort of perception of what it should be. But the film has been very successful, I think, in making this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've had no one, and I've been kind of surprised at this, no one stand up at a Q&A and say, I completely oppose what the film is doing. I completely oppose sort of the thesis of the film.
Yeah.
And I'm gratified by that, but actually a bit surprised. It seems like the film makes the case very well. But yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, when it has to do with policy and its hypocrisy, it rises to the level of you know, I think there's a responsibility of the press to report on it.
Yeah. It's funny, you said to me just now that you were kind of inclined to think the way I had before seeing this film, but you came to that eventually. You mean to say that as you did, as you explored the subject, as you got more and more acquainted with how many closeted legislators have voted against gay civil rights, that's what, before, in other words, before you started shooting it, you came to that view, or can you explain the evolution of it?
Yeah, I mean, before I began delving into the subject matter, I was somewhat on the fence. I mean, I wouldn't say I was opposed to reporting on closeted politicians who vote anti-gay, but I was sort of on the fence. You know, I think many people, if you look back to the Bill Clinton, impeachment, I mean, how that just completely, I think was very damaging to the American political process. And I think many things have to do with politics. I mean, there's much too much focus on, I think, on actual issues in politics to begin with.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, this is really not, I mean, it's around the subject of sexuality, certainly, but it's an issue that, like you said, focuses on policy. And so once I, very quickly after I began immersing myself in the subject matter, I actually realized the argument.
Yeah. Now, I saw it, of course, during the Tribeca Film Festival, and you are making the rounds as the film opens today. And I've forgotten how many cities, Kirby. What? How many cities?
Five cities. New York, L.A., D.C., Philadelphia, San Francisco.
So the natural curiosity and the question would be, has there been any screening that has been heavily attended by D.C. legislators? Has been any kind of Washington tastemaker community screening that you were at, and could you describe the reaction if there has been one?
Well, yes, there was a large Washington tastemaker screening. I think it was about 10 days ago. And the response was extremely positive. And I think it's because, a lot of these issues come as no surprise to people in Washington. One of the sort of revelations in the film is that D.C. is a very gay town and that there's many Republicans as Democrats, gay Republicans as Democrats.
Yeah.
So a lot of this they knew. They also, people in D.C. have seen the cost of the closet firsthand. Many of them, if they're, have been closeted or know people who are closeted, they know the personal pain that these people have to go through. And they also are very close often to politicians who are in the closet who have chosen to vote anti-gay to protect the closet.
Right.
Especially gays and lesbians in D.C. politics, I found almost very broadly wanted this film made, just like the gay press over the last 20 years. I mean, in many ways, this is a film that's built on the shoulders of the gay press. I mean, they've been reporting on this and really asking and demanding that the mainstream media report on it. And because they, too, know the cost of the closet.
Right. Yeah. Who was the, I'm trying to remember as I was writing about it before, who was the person who uttered the hilarious line, "You can't swing a dead cat in the without hitting someone who's closet or gay or whatever." Who said that?
That was David Castagna. He's a member of the Washington, D.C. City Council.
Okay.
Which, by the way, voted 13-0 to nothing just a couple of days ago to recognize same-sex marriages from any other state.
Aha, okay. All right. Anyway, I just think I was surprised by how, I mean, I think it's probably the best documentary I think I've seen this year, and I think it's just, and I was so taken, it's really kind of interesting how you really can't look to mainstream news media for this kind of clarity and just, toughness. And they're just not going to do it because they're too corporately owned. And it's this sort of thing that is so great about good documentaries, because you just don't get this from the traditional news outlets. So.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. And I think in this case in particular, I mean, these news outlets, I want to say, though, what I found is it's not so much the reporters who don't want to report on this and actually go in and report on even specific politicians who are voting anti-gay or closeted.
Yeah.
It's much higher up the ladder because these news outlets are owned by corporations. They have a lot of business in D.C.
Sure.
I think they're just making the calculation that why anger a powerful member of Congress over something that they already view as a little bit distasteful. And that's the problem here. When they view reporting on something that has to do with gay sexuality as distasteful, they're sending a message to the American public that there's something wrong with gay sexuality, and that helps to foment homophobia across the country.
Of course, right, yeah. The screening that you just mentioned, the one that happened in D.C., can you tell me what theater, and were there any named legislators that attended, or Or is it just basically, a public screening that just happened to have some people that were in the community? Can you be more specific about who attended and whether there was any response?
Well, it was the East Street Cinema,
yeah. And
I believe that's what it was.
All right.
I have to double check. But there were a lot of, there were no legislators there as far as I know,
okay.
But there were quite a few people who were in the film,
right.
Were there, and it was, again, I mean, it was a real hometown crowd in that regard. I mean, they knew, these were not stories that they, well, some of them, I think, came as a surprise for some people. But they were kind of glad to see finally somebody reporting on what, the story that, the mainstream media stayed away from.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that even the fact, as I said, that D.C. is, to them, it's kind of funny. The rest of the country thinks that D.C. is this completely hetero,
button-down
town. It's not. It's a swinging town.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, it's funny. I just trust and hope that this movie is going to penetrate and that people see it, because it's also the discipline that you used in putting it together. I was imagining many different segues and kind of Michael Moore moments you could have thrown in. Like there was a little parody that George Clooney and Brad Pitt did about shoe bumping, and the one I'm talking about. You could have had a lot of fun with it, is what I'm saying. But I admire that it was tight and hard and clean and straight, and you didn't mess around, and I just admire the way you went for it in a very absorbing and tight way. So.
Well, it's interesting because it was a real challenge because in some ways, for the first time, I had two audiences for this film. One, of course, is the sort of theatrical audience, DVD audience, etc. But one is the political press corps. I mean, certainly everything I've done in all my other films, I'm very careful, journalistically, because one really reason is because this isn't reported on. It's almost more, it's always important to get your facts right, but in some ways it's even more important because this may be one of the few times this subject is covered in a sort of a comprehensive way. So I certainly didn't want to put anything in there that would suggest anything that might be untrue. But then on the other hand, I also had to think about, it's really not, I'm not really a Michael Moore type of filmmaker, but I was also very aware that to take that approach, I think would have really antagonized the political press, which I didn't want to do. I mean, I know they're sympathetic to reporting on these reporters, and I really wanted this to start a discussion among the political press as well as among the country as a whole, because I think that by doing so, I think the film will help to lead to the demise, or help to lead to the demise of the closeted American politics, because up until now, people entering politics, because there's been very little discussion of this in the mainstream press, have made the calculation that they can go through their political life closeted,
mm-hmm.
and no one will really talk about it. And I think there's been some cautionary tales that are told in this film and over the last few years, Mark Foley, Larry Craig, and I think people, I hope, politicians, people going into politics will realize that it's a very risky decision to make. It's the wrong decision politically. They should be honest with the constituents.
I plan on actually taking a friend to it this weekend. I highly recommend it, so I'm looking actually forward to seeing it again, see how it plays the second time. But anyway, congratulations again, Kirby. I just wanted to just give you a thumbs up on it, and I just hope it sticks around. People remember it at the end of the year, because it certainly deserves to be.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Have a nice day, and good talking to you.
Okay, likewise.
Take care.
Bye.